of and titles of Jesus, we come to a interesting passage in the Old Testament this morning that actually contains a number of those names and titles, and we'll be looking at those over the next number of weeks. Those of you who have been overseas for a while know how fascinating it is to be so far away from home and then occasionally actually bump into somebody that you knew in your home country. Isn't that amazing? My daughter, our youngest daughter, met somebody at school this year who, it turns out, looks like they were in the same kindergarten class together back in Canada. Now, that's kind of amazing. This morning I met somebody who, it turns out, we attended sister churches in the very close proximity area of Toronto, northern Toronto, in Canada, and we actually attended the same conference together at one point. So it's a very, very small world. Well, my mind goes back to my time in Ontario. I remember that's where I began my pastoral ministry. And when we came to the church in Unionville back in 1978, we met a very sweet, godly, elderly couple who were one of the founding families of that church. They dearly loved the Lord, and they overflowed with joy. You rarely see that well, I shouldn't say you rarely see it. Forgive me for that. But in my experience, I rarely saw such a vibrant spiritual dynamic in elderly people. So this couple kind of caught me by surprise. Anyway, a few years after we got there, Grandma and Grandma Donor, as we called them, celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary. The next year after that, they both got very sick, and they died within 5 days of each other. Well, just before Grandma Donor died, this frail and wrinkled lady sat up in her bed, lifted her eyes and her hands toward the ceiling, and with eyes wide open and a face that looked like it was going to crack with excitement, she said, "Wonderful! Wonderful! Wonderful!" And then she laid back on her bed and slipped away to be with the one whom she had just named. About 2,700 years before Grandma Donor's death declaration, the prophet Isaiah prophesied these words, found in Isaiah 9, verse 6. "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful." Lord, we ask that as we look at this unique name by which you are described, we pray, Lord, that your Spirit will open our eyes like you did Grandma Donor's and help us see you for who you really are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are many things that bind all of humanity together. We all laugh and cry in the same language. We all hurt when we stub our toe or are rejected. We all have a sense of eternity in our hearts, and we all receive pleasure from wonder. That's right, we hunger and are delighted by wonder. You see it in the eyes of a child. Those of you who are parents remember those days. Those of you who are not parents may have seen it around a little child. That little newborn lays there on its back in the crib, and it's amazed with anything that you show it. Its eyes kind of look around. It's drinking in the fascination of everything around it. And then you introduce something new into its experience, something as simple as a little ball or a colorful toy to play with. And if it, especially if it makes a little sound, they seem to giggle and squeal with excitement. For them, it is full of wonder, and thus wonderful. But you know as well as I do that the wonder doesn't last for the child, because they grow up and their senses mature. And so they need something bigger and something better to bring about that sense of wonder. The push toys become moving parts toys and then riding toys. And they begin to explore their growing world, and at every new discovery, they bristle with wonder, with the wonder of their new discovery. And then a couple years later, the hormones kick in. You remember the wonder, those of you who are adults, you remember the wonder of the opposite sex? Do you remember? That was supposed to be funny. Anyway. If you can't remember, then we got a problem here. But anyway, do you remember the pounding anticipation of that first kiss? Am I in the wrong subject this morning? Does anybody remember that? I see three people. Good, we're on a roll here this morning. You all remember that? You anticipated, your palms became sweaty, the heart was pounding, oh, and you just couldn't imagine what it would be like to actually kiss her. To kiss him. Whoa, that's called wonder. I wonder what it will be like, and when I kiss him, it will be wonderful. Wonder. I watch it in the eyes of the bride and groom. We had a wedding here this past week. And as they exchanged their vows and as they looked into each other's eyes, I saw the wonder, the glory of that anticipation. If only it would last, huh? Unfortunately, that wonder rarely lasts. So we try many other things in life. I must confess to you that I'm a thrill seeker. I love the thrill of water skiing and snow skiing. I pursued and enjoyed the rush and the thrill of skydiving, scuba diving, bungee jumping. People think I'm crazy. But I like to do those things because there's a wonder about it, and I like experiencing that wonder. But you know, every time, regardless of the experience, every time, the first time, it was truly breathtaking. It was a full of wonder experience. But you know what? After the first time, the second time, it was not full of wonder. It still had some wonder, but it was not full. And as I continued the experience, it kind of got half full of wonder. And then after a while, it just became commonplace experience. Do you identify with me? You may not have bungee jumped, but regardless of what it is that has brought you a sense of wonder, you identify that after a while, the wonder dissipates. I think we can all agree with that. And so what do? Well, we travel. We become expats. And we see the sights. You remember your first peek at the pyramids? Remember driving down that Giza road and they kind of mount up behind those buildings and your eyes get wide? I'll bet every one of us, regardless of our language, exclaims something like, wow, or awesome, or cool, dude. Whatever it was, there was some expression of awe, of wonder. But I'll bet you, most of you don't say that anymore, especially on your 35th trip to the pyramids. Right? Somehow the wonder dissipates. And so we long to see the rest of the world. We long to experience other cultures, to taste other foods, to tan on yet another beach. We've got a built-in hunger for wonder that never dies. And so some try drugs, some try alcohol, some try sex, and we push the wonder of these stimulants to their extremes. Like everything else over time, they lose their wonder, and something greater is sought and pursued in its place. After spending our lives chasing the wonder, you'd think that we would realize that there is a significant element of letdown in all the universe's created wonders. It's like every thrill we have, after every single time, there's a hangover of disappointment. There are wonders for sure, but they are not wonderful. Many today in our world have lost a sense of wonder. Everything has become tried and dull to them. The unexplainable has become explained and understood, so they think. And so life becomes a drag. Boredom marries depression, and their offspring are despair and meaninglessness. Wouldn't it be absolutely incredible if we could find something or some place or some experience or someone that would forever satisfy the ravaging craving in our hearts for wonder? Would you be interested in that? The three of you before, would you be interested in that? Well, this morning I declare to you there is such a place. There is such an experience. There is such a person. His very name is Wonderful. That's his name. It was the prophet Isaiah who was given the revelation of this name for Messiah. It was Isaiah who, just three chapters before this revelation is recorded, gives us a glimpse into his contact or his encounter with this person's arrival on earth, or pardon me, his encounter with this person who would be arriving on earth. These were his words in chapter 6. Now try and put yourself in his place and imagine what he is describing here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, and with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Now I ask you, does that sound like a humdrum, everyday experience, or does that sound like a wonderful experience? I think it sounds like the latter, don't you? Now you may not understand it, but don't write it off because you don't understand it. Dear friends, an encounter with the true and living God may thrill you, or it may scare you silly, or it may do both, but an encounter with God will never bore you. Never. God doesn't bore people. One glimpse of the Almighty will cause you to fall back and say, "Wonderful, full of wonder." Jesus is wonderful precisely because he is none other than the inexhaustible, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, entirely holy, everywhere present God. There may be 27 different ways to try a particular experience, but then it gets old and the wonder is gone. But God has no limitations. There are no boundaries. The more we probe his nature, the more there is to discover. The deeper we dive into his grace and his love, the further the depths recede. The more often we sample the delicacies of his delight, the greater the banquet table he spreads for us. The more our soul hungers for intimacy, the closer he draws us into his infinite bosom. His grace has no limit. His love has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. His name is Wonderful because he is full of wonder. Dear friends, I ask you this morning, are you chasing the pleasures and thrills that this world teases you with, hoping against hope that maybe this time it will quench your thirst and your parched soul? Are you trying all the world's well-advertised kicks, hoping that they, like a salve, will soothe the growing internal itch in you? You hope it will bring back the thrill, the joy, the wonder, but you always keep on scratching. God is not upset because you and I pursue the pleasure of wonder. God is upset with us because we settle for so little. Why do we let our souls get satisfied with that which only is temporary? God created us with a hunger for wonder that will only be satisfied when it plugs into the wonderful nature of his being. That's what God created you for. Don't settle for less. This morning you find yourself like a beggar, sitting outside a banquet hall, waiting for scraps to satisfy your soul? Wouldn't you rather be sitting with the King of Kings, feasting on what he has prepared for you? Would you rather have scraps? Or do you want the banquet table of the King? Do you want temporal pleasures that always dissipate and need more? Or do you want to enter into the life, the relationship with the one who is full of wonder? This morning I invite you to come to the banquet table of him who is known as Wonderful. 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 Come and let your soul come to know him and experience him. This morning we come to that table which reminds us of just how full of wonder our Savior is. And we celebrate that communion with God. I remind you here this morning that this is not the table of this particular church or any one denomination. It is the table of the Lord. And if you have come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then we invite you to participate with us. If you have not yet made that commitment in your life, I encourage you to do it even now as we speak. Yield your life to Him. Admit that you are a sinner in need of His grace, in need of His forgiveness. Invite Him to come into your life as your Savior and Lord, and then remember Him with us in this way. As the bread is passed, we'll all take a piece, keep it till we've all been served, and then we'll participate together after prayer. In the same manner later, as the cup is passed, we'll take a little cup and keep it till we've all been served, and then pray together. I remind you that as the cup is being passed, the outer rings on the trays are wine, the inner circles are grape juice. Please take according to your tradition. It is at this table this morning that we remember the absolute wonder that God became flesh, that holiness took on sin, that the author of life came to die, that our personal sin was paid for by another, and that we, sinful people, have been forgiven and have been reconciled to a holy God. Dear friends, you may have heard that before, but think about it. Is that not wonderful? Amen? Is that not full of wonder? Good morning. Yes, that's what we celebrate here this morning. In Psalm 40 verse 5, David declared, "Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you plan for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare." In Chronicles, he said, "Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." As we're being served here this morning, let's lift our voices and declare in music, in song, the wonder of it all. Number 65. Join me in prayer. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts. As the glorious splendor of your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Lord, we pause here this morning to acknowledge your majesty, the wonder of what you have done for us. You have rescued us from our sin by coming here yourself, living perfect to meet the standards of righteousness, and dying to bear the penalty for our sin. This morning, Lord, as we hold this remembrance of your broken body, and as we eat it, we say thank you. Thank you for the wonder of our salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may not be like Grandma Donna this morning, ready to go and actually walk into the presence of the King, but you, like her, can declare his name. Turn with me to hymn number 101 as we sing, "His Name is Wonderful."